To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
Hi, and welcome to episode 4 of Mouse Manners and More podcast. Today we have Hannah.
Hi.
And Morgan.
Hi.
And Todd.
Hello.
And Kristen.
Hello.
And Becky.
Howdy.
Today we're going to start our series of Walt Disney World 101, but before then we're going to start with news, and the girls are going to take the news today.
Okay. The Cars Land might be coming to Hollywood Studios, and they might be getting rid of the lights, motors, action stunt show.
That would be perfect. I'm looking forward to that. Are you guys looking forward to that?
Yeah.
Never seen it.
Yeah.
You're not missing that.
That's good.
But is it a repetitive thing? I mean, when you go back, do you see the same
thing? I've seen it once, maybe twice. And I haven't seen it in a couple years, so.
You think they'll go back to the backlot tour and take that out too?
Yes.
Do you girls like the backlot tour?
Morgan likes to get wet on it.
Yeah, I like the costume part where you get to see where they make the costumes.
That's kind of neat. That's kind of behind the scenes thing that you normally get to see.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting that Nathan and I were talking about that just this last weekend about where would you put Cars Land if it come to one of the parks, and that's kind of what we were discussing. In fact, there was actually a couple of areas back there would be a good place to put them. So.
Yeah. We're like the Amazing Disney Kreskins.
Yes.
That's what, going way back. You girls remember the Kreskin, don't you? Going really way back.
We're younger than you all.
Yeah, I'm 20, remember?
Let's stop that segment right there. Because I don't need to be sleeping outside tonight again. So do you guys remember when we took the backlot tour and you could see the Brady Bunch house and all that stuff back there?
I do. I don't know if Hannah got to see that. She might have when she was 3, but not the last time.
Do you think there's Disney squatters back there that live in the Brady Bunch house? Or Oliver? Do you think Oliver's living in the Brady Bunch house? Do you remember Oliver?
Cousin Oliver?
Come on! So what else is in the news?
There is gossip that there's going to be live comedy shows in Fantasyland.
That would be good. Something different.
Yeah. Like you guys were talking a few episodes back, as you really like to go into Hollywood Studios and see the live performers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So be the same kind.
Exactly. Same thing like that. And I know they got some of those in the Magic Kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nice to have the interaction with the cast members that are, like in Hollywood Studios, I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
There's been previews of the Belle's Enchanting Tales in the new Fantasyland.
Have you seen the videos of that?
Really, that's neat.
Really, really neat.
Yeah. I've seen the guest star on one.
Yeah, it's really cool. I don't know if you should see the videos or not. That's what's kind of bad sometimes is when they announce things like that and then they have videos of it out and it kind of ruins it a little bit.
Yeah. I won't be surprised, so. But hopefully it'll be good, and we'll be down there almost a month, and we'll be down to Walt Disney World for our fall trip.
Oh, yeah.
And, so it looks like they are doing some soft opening, so it'll be good for the girls to go out and check that out.
So what else we got in the news?
The Magic Carpet Ride is scheduled for refurbing, and it's supposed to start October 18th, reopening October 26th.
You can always check the official Disney website for a list of rides that's going to be down. I know Test Track is still down and still scheduled. Hopefully to reopen holidays of 2012. So, with luck, it'd be nice in October when we're there.
That's not too close to a holiday, is it?
That's Columbus Day.
Hey, yeah, maybe they'll open up for Columbus Day.
So,
I think that's what they're shooting for, right?
Yeah.
A Columbus Day opening?
Yeah, exactly. somehow, probably Thanksgiving, I guess. So
anybody else got anything to add?
It looks like there is an opening date for Periwinkle, which I think is one of the fairies. She's going to have a meet and greet, and it opens September the 9th inside Tinkerbell's Magic Nook in Adventureland.
That is so awesome.
It's great.
I've been waiting for Periwinkle. All the other ones that were coming out, they're not quite my favorite.
No, which one is she? What color is her dress?
Periwinkle. Come on. Thank you.
I would say it would be Periwinkle.
Is that purple?
Periwinkle's blue.
Purple.
I don't know if
it's a bluish purple.
There's no fairy named Periwinkle, is there?
It's a bluish.
Oh, it may be the new Tinkerbell movie that's coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. That's important news for little girls.
It is.
Oh, yeah. So there's a lot of Tinkerbell fans out there. So also, they've extended Wi-Fi into Epcot.
Yeah.
So free Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like they're continuing to expand those out into the park. So look for Hollywood Studios and Animal Kingdom to follow online shortly.
Yeah. So that's what I'm hoping for is when we get down there, that they'll have all Wi-Fi in all of the parks.
And I think they at least have them by the holidays, by Christmas and stuff.
Yeah.
Hopefully by sometime in October, by Halloween as well. But
they're moving
we'll
quick on that.
Yeah, they
though,
are.
Because Magic Kingdom was just a couple of weeks ago, right?
It wasn't too far ago.
Yeah.
And their resorts and stuff. So it's like they're updating their technology.
Yeah, that's cool. And so probably Animal Kingdom will be the last so it can support the five people that are actually going down. I'll erase that later.
Well, you should, because didn't we read not too long ago that that's the Animal Kingdom has more guests than Hollywood Studios?
Mm-hmm. But I think they're counting the animals, too. So birds fly in there and go on the fence. That's a visitor, right?
Babies
bugs
that haven't been born.
Or could have potentially be born.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go on to our main topic, which we've actually heard a couple of suggestions from listeners out there that when they listen to our podcast, sometimes, you know, they've never been to Walt Disney World, and some of the things that we talk about are a little bit things that they're not used to. So what we're going to do is take the next few episodes and kind of go through what we call WDW 101, which is kind of giving you information on, like, if it's your first time that you're planning, or if there's some kind of tips that we can give you that throughout our trips that we've done to be able to help you plan your next vacation. That's what we're going to try to do. So today it's just going to be more of a general initial planning. Who wants to start it out?
I'll start. We'll talk about just, you know, generally Walt Disney World and, you know, where it's located. It is, you know, close to Orlando, just right outside of Orlando. I think the official address is Lake Buena Vista, but, you know, not too far from downtown Orlando. You know, it's in central Florida, probably about, you know, 50 miles each way. To the east is Daytona Beach, so they get a lot of, you know, daytime visitors. People go to the beaches of Florida, a very popular destination for summer vacations. If you go over to the Gulf Coast, you got Tampa, you know, about 75 or so miles away. Probably a good hour and a half or so from beaches to, you know, central Florida. So that is one thing that Walt likes about the location, you know, when they were picking the area for Disney World. One of the things you want to, you know, kind of keep in mind is, you know, like I said, when you're going to be going to Walt Disney World, you know, take a look at the temperatures. You know, it is in central Florida, so it is rather warm, you know, mostly, you know, year round. In July and August are, you know, in the upper 90s, and, you know, typically lows are in 70s. But even in, you know, December, you know, the average highs are still in the 70s. There's a lot of people from colder climates, winter, you know, go to Florida. Can get a little cool. So, you know, we went a couple years ago in December, and it got kind of like cool. No snow, obviously, but
didn't need a jacket.
But yeah, you didn't need a good jacket.
Layers.
Layers.
Gloves. Fuzzy,
you know,
socks, boots.
No, that was 2 years ago. Last year, it was
not.
Yeah.
It was last year,
like,
was not.
But you needed to be prepared.
Yeah. Got to know what time of the year you're going to go, and, you know, be prepared. And, you know, say if you go in the wintertime, it can, December, January, you know, it does get cold. Can't complicate things if you're trying to pack. I mean, obviously, you go to Florida, you want to take shorts and t-shirts. It was very casual. You know, there's not many real fancy places in Walt Disney World, so it's all usually very casual. If you go in the wintertime, you have to mix shorts and t-shirts with jeans, hoodies, that can kind of be a little bulky.
Winter's the worst. Like, summer, it's either, it's okay or, oh my gosh, right?
Yeah.
Winter's like, you have no idea what to prepare for, because it could be halfway decent during the day and then freezing at night, and you want to pour hot cocoa over yourself.
Yeah, something that, you know, to keep in mind is, you know, if you have to, you know, take extra clothes, you can always rent a locker. All the parks have lockers where you can rent. So if they're carrying around all day, you know, backpack, you can also, it's, you know, summer and it's sunny, wear your shorts and t-shirts, and at night as it gets colder, you may need a light thin jacket or gloves. Or, and talk about, you know, Walt Disney World, you know, talking, you know, we're big fans, but you talk to a lot of people, and some people don't realize that, you know, the complexity talk about Walt Disney World, and they're thinking really just of the Magic Kingdom. Walt Disney World itself is a very big complex. Total size of Walt Disney World is over, 27,000 acres. There's, actually four theme parks: Magic Kingdom, Epcot, Hollywood Studios, and Animal Kingdom. They have, two separate water parks: Typhoon Lagoon and Blizzard Beach. There's also Downtown Disney, a complete whole complex
shopping.
Shopping, so very popular with the girls. But it's a vast array of stuff. It's not one place. So you have lots of options, lots of things to do for, kids that are 2 years old and up to, 100 plus.
Dang, can you imagine 100 plus person go around on Disney and wheel them around?
Not in August. That would be so hot.
Yeah, so we can...
You just have to throw my wrinkled body into the pool.
That's any different than any other trip we take.
Really?
Doghouse!
I'll cut that out.
Really? We didn't get to go swimming last time.
No, we didn't.
And I wanted to.
One thing to keep in mind, when you go in December... the pools are still heated, so.
Not much.
No.
A little bit.
I mean, I think heated pool, I think nice hot water.
You're thinking like a hot tub. No, they're not a hot tub, but you plan to go on a trip in December and January, still pack a bathing suit for yourself and the kids, and, you won't be shivering when you get out. If you hit it while it's, sunny, so.
Depends on where you're from, too. If you're from a northern states, then it'll feel pretty good.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
If you're like Florida. You go, it's going to be
pretty cold.
It's in
the 50s and 55 for freeze to death.
Like, sometimes in the pool, I was really, really cold, and there was nobody around me, so I found the little, I was walking to the steps of the pool, and then I felt some heat, and so I stood on top of the heat thing in the pool.
Mm-hmm. Probably you're going to say that you sat on a light.
I did try to sit by a light.
They do that too. We do that.
Yeah.
But that was this past December we went, and it was at night when you were swimming.
Also keep in mind that, it is a resort, so there are lots of hotels on Disney property. Typically they're classified into three general classes: the value resorts, moderate resorts, and deluxe resorts. Value resorts are generally cheaper, and even those prices fluctuate between time of year that you're going. But, generally speaking, they provide the best value and the cheapest alternative if you want to stay at Disney. Moderates up are a little more upscale. Finally, deluxe is the most, the more expensive, and talks about, has a lot of the amenities. And including that is the generally what we call the DVC Villas, Disney Vacation Club. Some of the rooms you can get one bedroom, two bedroom, and be more like you would be staying at home. So those are options that they have at Walt Disney World.
Which has a full kitchen.
Yeah, one has a kitchen.
And the studio even has a small kitchenette, which helps.
There's a microwave and
a little refrigerator,
coffee pot, sink and stuff.
Yeah. A lot of them have toasters.
Yeah, toasters. Yeah. Little silverware and I guess a starter of like paper towels and paper products.
But I don't think it's all about whether you can afford it or you can't afford it. Because some people could afford a deluxe, but they just don't stay in their room enough. And they don't see the sense in spending that much money if you're not going to be in your room for that long. Whereas like people that generally go a lot more like to experience the room and the area around it and may spend a little bit more to stay there. So,
well, there's all different kinds of families. Mm-hmm. You may have the family that doesn't want to eat out every meal.
But what I'm saying is don't think that the value resorts are bad just because they're value priced, right? I mean, if you're not going to be in your room and you don't see the sense of spending a lot of money on it.
Well, the thing with the value resorts, okay, I'll just straight up tell you, I've never stayed in one, never plan on staying in one. It has nothing to do with value resorts.
Disney snob.
I am a Disney snob. Self-admitted. But a lot of groups stay at the value resorts. So if you have a group of high school kids that are going to Disney, that's where they're going to stay. So you're going to have a little bit more noise, more likely, than you would at another resort. If you have a family of five or six, pretty much, unless you get a villa, you have to stay at a value resort unless you buy, get two rooms. You just do. They won't let you at a moderate resort that has two, what are they, queen beds, they will not let you have more than four people in that room when you book it.
Cut in just a little bit because I saw a picture of, and I want to call it Dixie Landings. What is it called?
French Quarter.
Riverside. Riverside. They've refurbished their rooms and they have the two full beds, uh-huh. plus they have a fold-out bed. So that would accommodate five.
Well, and yeah, but they didn't used to.
Right, they didn't used to. Yeah. And I don't know that that is definitely a five, but I would think that it would be.
Yeah, they have trundle beds.
Yeah,
it just pulls down. Yeah, so you can, there are some rooms that you can have five.
But, so. I mean, that's what you're going to find more at the value resorts are families with multiple kids, which is not a bad thing. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but that's the options for them. They don't have many more options than that without spending a lot more money. Mm-hmm. And if you have more than one child, it can get expensive. So, you know, your best value is to stay at the value resort. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the smartest thing for you to do. Mm-hmm. Money-wise, we've stayed at moderate and deluxe, and quite frankly, I'm just going to throw this out there. They can pay me later. Our favorite resort is Port Orleans Riverside, and it's a moderate. You know, a little bit more than the value, but in my personal opinion is I like it better than some of the deluxes. So
I have to agree. Oh, we love French Quarter, too, which is in the same area. That was just It's the atmosphere of it. Everything's there, and it's convenient. You can get just about anywhere.
Yeah.
Around there. It's really nice.
And those two, I mean, they share amenities. So if you're staying at Riverside, you can go down to the pool at the French Quarter and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not more than a 10-minute walk away between the two resorts.
Or a quick boat ride, right?
Right. You can hop on the boat and go down there. But you can share, you know. You can go swim in each other's pools. And the same thing for some of the deluxes like Yacht Club and Beach Club. You know, share their, you know, kind of connected. They are, you know, connected. So, but you may share the Stormlong Bay of pool.
Mm-hmm.
So, but one thing I wanted to mention is, you know, I think Disney has seen that in the recent opening of the Art of Animation. You know, that's a value resort, but they're starting to make, you know, put family rooms together to accommodate that because that was something you had. You know, you had a bigger family, you had to go up to the deluxe sometimes or, you know, do a DVC. But I think they realized that and, you know, hoping that all new section, you know, phase two of Pop Century, if you will. And they're still expanding that based on some characters. And those are expanding and opening still, you know, through this time. But, you know, that's another option that is good for families of, you know, bigger sizes to check in the Art of Animation.
Also, the theming on that's really cool.
Yeah, some pictures and stuff I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to try to get down there and go to, you know, take a bus ride over and check it out.
Yeah.
Well, and all the Disney resorts are very well themed. Even the value resorts, if you look at pictures, they're really cool. And I would like to go walk around one, but, I mean, there's three of us in our family. We'll choose where we would like to stay. Now that we're DVC members, however, we will stay at our DVC resort. Right. But, you know, they're really cool themed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, it's just whatever fits your family the best. Mm-hmm. Sorry, go ahead, Dickie.
When we stayed there, we stayed at where? Pop Century for one night just to get some sleep because we had gotten there pretty early. The beds are horrible. You can tell. If you've ever stayed in the moderate or deluxe, you can tell that they're not that great. But just for somewhere to sleep, if you're going to be at the park all day and just be there for sleep, that's good for the money.
Which if it's your first time going to Disney, that's what you're going to be doing. You're going to be going to the park. You're going to get up first thing, go to the park. You're going to stay there all day. You're going to go back to your hotel to sleep. And that's it.
No swimming, no nothing. Just get on a bus, whatever.
It was forever before we
swam. Yeah, we took our time and didn't even get into the pool.
Yeah. Because we wanted to experience all the parks.
That's not what you're going for the first couple of times.
No.
You're going to go to the park and see what they got in there.
Well, that place had a huge swimming pool compared to French Quarter.
Pop Century. So, in general, what do you think the best advice for going to Disney? Like, if it's your first time, you know, it seems a little overwhelming. What would it be?
Plan!
Wow, that was great. That was in sync. You guys are married or something, aren't you?
Something like that. No, I mean, I think, you know, that's one piece of advice, if you've never been, is to plan as much as you can. You know, if you need to get a travel agent to do your planning for you, that's fine as well.
Becky can hook you right up.
Yeah.
rlmeese@hotmail.com.
How much do we owe you for plugging?
$10. Check in the mail.
Well, you need to plan. You also need to do your research. You need to research what's best for your family. When we first went, we went with a bunch of Todd's family. We kind of just tagged on that trip, and we let them just take the reins, and we had no clue what we were getting into. We didn't know where we were eating. We didn't know anything. The second trip we went with another family, and they had been several times, so they knew to plan. And they planned out all the meals. They planned it. So we kind of followed suit. And
well, I mean, you know, once you get the idea that you want to go to Disney World, you know, try to do that as far in advance as you can. I mean, you know, you can start a year out. If you go to making dinner reservations, you can book those 180 days out. You know, start researching those. You know, first place you want to eat, because some of those do fill up fast. And some of those you want to get those at 180 days. I know you can call down there now. You can book online. There's apps that you can, you know, book through reservations, but you know, it's something that you want to look at. You know, just plan. You know, you got the internet. Do as much as you can. Call and ask questions. Like I said, you know, travel agents.
And a lot of people don't realize that you can call Disney, book your trip, and pay on it. You have to have it paid off 45 days before you go. You have to have a $200 deposit, but you can pay monthly or whatever works for your budget or your family. Right. A lot of people don't realize that. They think, oh, Disney's so expensive, I had to pay for all of it down right then, and we don't have that kind of money. Yeah. That's not the case. So you book a year out, you have
pay
your $200, you have almost a year to pay it off.
And what we used to do, too, we would go and get books at, like, the bookstores. Mm-hmm. That were like the unofficial guide, and then there was like, I can't remember, Froders or something like that, where you would go and it would kind of give you an idea of where you're going with the...
And it had a lot of tips in it.
Yeah.
So, you know, read, get those books and read.
Yeah.
Because it's the difference between having a really, really horrible vacation where you're just running all over the place and then planning and knowing your family, what they like to do, and then deciding where you want to go. I'm not saying that you're going to be... At 8:15 in the morning, I'm going to be at JoJo's Palace or whatever, and then at 9 o'clock, there's no JoJo's Palace, though, is there?
JoJo does have a breakfast.
JoJo's Circus.
JoJo's Circus.
Not Palace.
What?
She's not made that far.
She's
yet.
At Playhouse Disney, isn't it?
It is.
JoJo at Playhouse Disney.
I never watched JoJo's Circus on Playhouse Disney, though. But anyway, it's not like you're going from 8:30 to 9 and all that stuff.
Well, you need to decide if you have any... food allergies, or if you're a vegetarian. They do have food for you. You can ask for things without meat. If you make reservations at restaurants, you can ask for special meals. They do have that. They just ask you to sign up for that ahead of time and kind of check it in again once you're there. But and it also depends on, do you want to just grab something and go, or do you want to have some nice sit-down meals?
Well, and the cool thing, if you have diet restrictions, is, like, say you have to have a gluten-free diet. The cool thing for, especially if it's a kid, not that that's cool for a kid to have, but the cool thing for a kid is the chef will come to your table. When we went to Crystal Palace, we saw a little kid who, I guess, was gluten-free, and the chef came and walked him to the buffet, showed him exactly what he could have on that buffet.
That's really cool.
So that's, you know, that's kind of neat, and they will accommodate any kind of allergy that you have and work with you and fix you something special if that's what they have to do. So that's really nice about a thing about Disney, is you don't have to worry that your kid who has milk allergies or peanut allergies or something like that is going to have an allergy attack or eat something they shouldn't eat, because they are looking out for you.
Mm-hmm. So anybody else have any planning advice that they want to give up?
I do. I personally haven't done this before, but I'm going to start trying to do this. I am really into, like, skincare and stuff. So if you start sweating really bad in the parks, it's a good thing to take, like, blotting papers for your face, because if you get all that makeup stuck in your pores and stuff, then it's going to cause you to have really bad breakouts and stuff. So
that is true.
That's very
and you
true.
Will sweat most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you have to take sunscreen, carry that with you.
And good shoes.
Packs or pockets, whatever. Good shoes. Yes, that's one of the things I want to talk about is, you know, I've had that experience where you take, you know, one or two pair of shoes. You know, you do a lot of walking. You know, these parks are very big, so you can really get the Get the dogs tired there after a long day. When you come back to the room, it's like, oh, you're swiped out. You just go to bed. But, you know, you do that, you know, first trip. You want to see, you're excited. You want to see everything that there is to offer. So it's like we did. We just went, like, kept going and kept going, you know, full steam for 3 or 4 days. A couple times I went through and only taking, like, 1 or 2 pair of shoes and wore the same shoes over and over, you know, wind up with blisters and stuff. So now what I try to do is, you know, take, you know, 3 or 4 different pairs of shoes, you know, a couple of tennis shoes, Crocs. You can, all people wear flip flops, so.
Crocs are good if it's raining.
If it's, you know, it's good if it's raining, you just have to go right on and don't have to worry about, you know, getting wet and stuff. So, especially if you're going in summertime, it is going to rain. It's going to rain every single day. You know, it's generally a shower or two and they'll go away. But, you know, you're going to experience that. And, you know, kind of my tip would be, you know, to alternate shoes. You know, do tennis shoes one day, you could do Crocs one day and go back to tennis shoes. And, you know, it kind of keeps the blisters away.
I rather wear flip-flops, so I just suffer through it.
Yeah, how many shoes have we bought for you at Disney because you've had a blister?
I mean, you can take, like, moleskin and stuff like that to you know, put in strategic areas that you may, you know, come across with blisters and stuff like that. Some things. But like I said, just plan as, you know, as far ahead of time as you can and what you want to, you know, what you want to do. Cause then it can be overwhelming. You know, if you get there, you know, just like, oh, 2 months, I'm going to go Disney in 2 months. And you just buy your tickets and your hotels and you get there, you don't really know anything about it. Run into people that, oh, I'll never go back again. It's just, you know, too many people. You stay in line. You know, you can't get into any places. The restaurants are full. Well, that's because they didn't plan.
Yeah.
It's a great experience. It's the number one destination for travel in the world. You know, you have people all around the world coming to Walt Disney World. And you'll see that when you get there. People all talk all types of languages. You know, it's something you need to remember. Is the better you can plan ahead, the more fun you will have and the better your experience will be.
And something as simple as a pair of shoes or not taking any suntan lotion or something and preparing could ruin it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to get there the first day in the summer, and it's blistering, like I said, 95 degrees, and by the end of the day, you come back, and everybody's, you know, beat red with a suntan.
But buy your suntan lotion at Walmart. Do not buy it at Disney. It'll cost you 3 times more.
Yes, exactly.
And
if you get in there and you're beat red and you're burnt, you'll pay $20 or $50
for it.
Good money.
Yeah, exactly. So, but, you know.
One time it was about to storm really, really bad, and I heard one of the cast members say, well, Magic Kingdom's the safest place in Florida for thunderstorms is Magic Kingdom. Because, like...
That was your daddy.
Oh!
Yeah, that's probably a cast member.
Okay, maybe honorary cast member.
But then, because I said, like...
So where did your daddy get that information from?
A cast member? Internet.
No.
Phone.
Cast member. Well, Nathan and I did a tour. That's one of the things they talked about on the tours, the keys to the Magic Kingdom.
They said that that they have, like, fake flags on top of the buildings, but the flag poles have, they're actually lightning rods.
They keep people, I mean, you can imagine, you know, tens of thousands of people every day in there. And like I said, you're in Florida. That's one of the... You know, for safety wise, you know, more probable for lightning strikes and stuff. So, you know, they have to take that into account. But.
Just stick your head in a shopping building and wait for the storm to come out.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Just your head?
Yeah, whatever.
That'd be weird.
The body can get rained on and electric.
Get a lightning struck there. You're happy, aren't you? Just clapping.
I have just a little suggestion. If it's your first time, even if you're going for a week or 10 days, you're probably not going to get everything done. And if you can just understand that before you get there, it might help you have a better time.
Oh, it'll have, yeah, you'll have a much better time if you understand you. Yeah. We've gone, I don't even know how many times, I've lost count, but we haven't done everything. So,
well, they're constantly changing stuff. You're not going to see everything that they do. And like I said, when you're going the first few times, you just want to go ride the rides and do the experiences. And if you're, you know, fortunate to go back, then you start looking at some of the detail and you're still amazed.
But that's part of your research is to look and see what your family most wants to do.
Yep.
Because it varies from family to family. Mm-hmm. And you look and see what your family most wants to do, and then you go do those things. Mm-hmm. And you knock those things out, and then if you have extra time, pick a few other things.
So when do you think is the best time to go, or what do you think you should avoid?
You know, not spring break.
Not Christmas.
Go at spring break. It is awful.
Well, I mean, the busiest time in Disney World is the week between Christmas and New Year's. Most people have that time off, so, you know, people want to go up to Disney right after Christmas, before New Year's. I'll see that a lot of the locals in Orlando are off, so they want to spend some time in the park. So I think that is, like I said, spring break is very busy. And the spring break, you know, now in Corpus is about 6 weeks, you know, from anywhere from 1st of March to the middle of April. You know, different areas have different spring breaks for schools.
Thanksgiving is a
very, very heavy time. Any holiday weekends?
President's Day,
Memorial Day, Labor Day, Columbus Day. I mean, because, you know, people like to take that extra, you know, day or so off, or, you know, cut that week off and we'll go. So those are very busy times.
And they're not talking about just being kind of crowded and uncomfortable and standing in line. I mean, you're talking about elbow to elbow,
insanity.
Front to back, hard to get through, all of that stuff, right?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you know, like from between Christmas and New Year's, you know, the wait line at Soarin', you know, one of the most popular rides down there, I've seen, you know, wait lines or wait times as long as 5 hours to do that.
That's insane.
Yeah. But they know when the busy times are, and you know, I would suggest you can look, you know, lots of resources online will, you know, tell you when the heaviest peak times at the parks are, like the ones we mentioned. Also, one thing I want to mention is, like, special events we talked about earlier where they would be staying at the value resorts. I mean, there's Pee Wee football championships they have there. They have cheerleading competitions down there. So, you know, if you know when you want to go, check around on the schedules and see if those coincide with any of those. So there may be, you know, different groups down there. So that can greatly impact, you know, your touring, you know, the parks and, like, where you stay. You know, like I said, it can be kind of loud sometimes in the
value resorts
or any resort. I mean, we have seen them stay at the Riverside and some moderates too.
Yeah.
So when they have overflows, but.
Yeah.
Something to
kind of
look at. So, you know, look at your times. Like, so there's lots of resources. The unofficial guide to Disney is a very good resource. It has a chart. You can look on there, you know, touringplans.com, get a plug in for them to check that out. So
what if you're on a budget? So you've been saving for a while, you got a little bit of money, or you got enough money to do just about whatever you want. Does that make it? I guess it just makes a big difference in how you approach things, right? Because it's not just going to the parks and seeing all the rides. You could venture out and do golf, and you could do the exotic cars. You could get massages if you really wanted to, right?
Well, again, that's, I think, a family preference. If you want to spend money on that, or if you just want to go to the parks, it's just each individual family. We've been so many times that now we're starting to do some more of those extra things versus when we first started going, we just want to go to the parks, and that was it.
Yeah.
And if it's your first and only trip, you're going to want to do the parks. And you're going to want to try to get all four parks. We recommend the Park Hopper for that. But so you can go to multiple parks in one day. Mm-hmm. If you plan on going back, if this is your first trip, you plan on going back multiple times after this, you can be a little bit more leisurely about what you get done, what you want to do. You can do an extra thing if you want to, because you know you're going to go back.
Right. And if you're going to go back in the same year, it would be worth looking into the
annual pass.
Yes. Because it will definitely save you money if you go two or more times a year.
Yeah, we this is our first year using the annual pass, actually, because we typically have only gone once a year, sometimes twice, but that's been very rare. We will actually get 3 uses out of our annual pass this time.
Yeah. The break even points something like 8 or 9 days. If you go more than that, you know, your period, you're better off to get an annual pass. And you can, if you realize that and you're there and you make another trip, like we did one time, we scheduled another vacation while we were there, you know, you can change and update, you know, to an annual pass.
And you also get discounts at stores with your annual pass.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that, I mean, there's a plus right there.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But with the annual passes, they don't mention, do you have an annual pass? So you have to say, do you give an annual pass discount?
Yes.
Yeah, and then sometimes, and yeah, sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't.
So. I only says no, but I forget to ask.
Yeah, me too.
Sometimes, so. But like I said, it depends if you want to do it, you know, on the cheap, You know, if you're going to stick to value resorts and just stick to the parks, you know, there's different ticket options, you know, cheaper park hopper, like we mentioned, but that's an added expense until your tickets. You can just get, you know, one park a day, but you know, you're limited to that park for that one day. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can go in and out of the same park multiple times, but you know, you can't just hop to other parks.
And one thing I would recommend if you're looking at your budget is, depending upon your budget, something that I've seen works really well for younger kids, I mean even older kids, but is to set a limit for them, because you don't want to listen to your whole day at the park. Mommy, can I get? Daddy, can I get? Daddy, I want that. Mommy, I want that.
Or honey, can I get this? Or honey, yeah. Can I get that?
You don't want to listen to that.
No.
So we put, you know, we had to put Todd on a budget and tell him he can only spend this amount of money.
I only have about $50 a day to buy t-shirts. Come on.
Yeah. But you that's a really 50? Good way.
Wow. She gives me like $10. But like, I got to save like, up for socks. Like,
when did I give you $10?
I took it out of your purse.
That's not like that's two t-shirts on Disney World.
But that is a really good way to keep that from happening and ruining your whole trip, because you really don't want to listen to that all day. And the people around you don't want to listen to that all day. So, you know, tell your child you can get three things at this park, period, and that's it. Or, you know, if they're a little bit older, this dollar amount and that's it. And they make choices. Morgan had so much money one time and a certain amount of money that it was her money. She could spend it any way she liked. The only thing I told her was, I do not want you spending on a bunch of junk. You know, the little bitty junky things that every theme park sells. She picked a pillow and a book. That's fine with me. She chose it. That's what she got.
Why didn't you tell her she had to go to sleep right after she got better get yourself a pillow and a book.
Just know Disney does it well. They have lots of stuff to sell.
Exactly.
After you get off every ride almost.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's amazing shopping. How they empty those exit rides and they just pop out in the middle of the store.
Yep. Hmm.
So that's another reason you want to tell that child you can get three things, or you can spend $20 or $50 or whatever your butt works in your budget. It's just kind of a smart way to prepare your kid that they're not going to get everything they see and want. They're just not.
Mm-hmm.
It's unreasonable for 95% of the families to do that, to just say, oh, go for it. You can get whatever you want. That's a little bit unreasonable.
Right. I'll ask the girls this. They talk about this. You know, when you first get there, you're there the first day or first 2 hours you get to the park, or in your first day. Oh, I see that. I gotta have that. I'm gonna be here for 7 days. Well, there may be something I want early or later on. So if you're all ever experienced that, or if you are you starting to look and maybe wait later in the trip?
Yeah, but sometimes, like last time, we were gonna get something, but then we didn't. Like my mom said, "Oh, I was gonna get her this for school, a shirt to wear at school," but then I forgot. And the only thing I really had to beg for is a stuffed Pluto. I think it was a stuffed Pluto. And I had to beg and beg and beg and beg for that. But I got it.
But she got it, and she really did sleep with it forever.
And then, when I stopped sleeping with it, she's like, why aren't you sleeping with Pluto? I'm like, I want to rotate my stuffed animals every now and then.
So now we sleep with Duffy.
That she bought me, and it just laid in the floor till I was stopped playing with Pluto.
They all need love, don't they?
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So what about you, Hannah?
Probably the same thing.
The one thing, though, you have to kind of be careful with when you do that, Todd, is if you want a Santa hat, better buy it when you see it. Yes. Because they will run out.
Yeah, that'd be the only exception if you're going to special events. At Christmas time, Halloween parties, special events, sometimes they sell out of those. You know, something that's specific that's not general that you would have normal times of the year. But if you're, you know, just going, you know, look at things, you know, they'll have different, a lot of areas they'll have the same thing in different areas. They'll have the same thing at Downtown Disney that they'll have the Magic Kingdom.
But the prices are the same.
Prices are the same. And you can get the same thing in, like I said, multiple locations. So if it's not convenient to make it back over to Downtown Disney, you can always look at, you know, all the shops in the Magic Kingdom or, you know, Animal Kingdom, Mouse Gears, and Epcot is a very good place to shop, have lots of variety of things there to look at. So you know, you can always pick them up somewhere later, but, you know, that's one option. You know, go spend your money on your first 2 or 3 days, and you get an invitation and the kids see something they really want, if, you know, they don't have the money, you know, to do that.
If you find something that you like, or if it's not in your size, you can actually have one of the cast members call around the different places and they can find it somewhere else. So like you're talking about a Santa hat, they might have it someplace else. So the length of the stay, it makes it cheaper if you go a little bit longer sometimes, right? Adding a day is not too much more expensive. It gets cheaper
the
longer that you go.
Well, after you get past, you know, about the six or seven days, it's like $2 or $3. So
yeah.
And that helps you out with planning too, to know what kind of parks you want to go to. And if you got a rush, right? If you're there for more than 4 days, then you can start to think about going to a place a second time, right? Or if you've missed some rides one day, you can go back to that park another day. Or if it's too crowded one day, then go to another park and try to hit it again. But if you're there with just 1 day per each park, then that makes the planning a little bit more, well, it's cut and dry, right? It's like one park a day or something, yeah. Right? Go quickly.
I mean, you can easily, it makes planning, you can say, easier, because I know I'm going to be at this park, you know, all day. You know, you have a little less flexibility.
I think if it's your first and only time, you need to go at least 7 days. Maybe 6, but I would recommend 7.
I would too.
And if you're only going for 4 days, sometimes you can do Hollywood Studios and Animal Kingdom in the same day. Mm-hmm. But if you do that, you would have to go to Animal Kingdom first because they close first. And then you would have an extra day to go back to whatever park.
Because they close early.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then Hollywood Studios has like Fantasmic, so you can go see the night show that they've got there, right?
Mm-hmm. And like at Animal Kingdom, there's not that many rides. There's like 4 or 5-ish. Mm-hmm. And then there's mostly shops and then animals. Well, if you really want to do the 2 in one day, you can go to a zoo and see animals. It's no different than Disney, so.
Animal Kingdom is not a zoo.
It's not a zoo, but it's.
No. There's animals.
It's better than a zoo, but still, if you really, really, really want an extra day for another park, you can do it the same day. You don't have to go see every single animal.
So let's talk about where you're going to stay. That's sometimes a big choice for people going first, right? Do I get a hotel or resort on site, or do I get it off property? I mean, there's pros and cons to each one of those.
Well, my recommendation is if it is your first time, you need to stay on property. You do not get the full Disney experience unless you stay on property. That's my opinion.
Mine too.
Yeah, I have to agree.
Yeah. Depends on budget. I mean, they're generally a little more expensive. But,
what about you girls? What do you think?
I think you could, if you're gonna go and you're like on a budget or something, it would be good to stay off property, but if you want to get the full Disney experience, you can stay at like the Wilderness Lodge, which I really like.
Yeah.
But if you stay on a Disney property, you get perks like extra magic hours, either early in the morning or in the evening, free parking at any of the parks, or if you don't want to drive yourself, you can hop on a Disney bus or a Disney boat and they'll take you to the park.
The monorail.
If you buy something in the park, they'll deliver it to your hotel. You just need to make sure you have enough days, because sometimes it takes a day or so for them to get it to your hotel. So if it's your last day, they will not deliver it to your hotel for you to pick up. But
that's something we kind of take advantage of now. Like, so, you know, carrying around a bag with you all day long. Fill a little sheet of paper to tell them what resort, what your room number is, you know, your name and address in case, you know, you do forget it. And they'll deliver it to your resort. Like I said, most time it's the next day. But, you know, so if you're going that next day, you need to probably take it with you.
They deliver it to the store in your resort.
And you get a phone call saying your package is here.
Reminder.
And you have to lug that around. You know, you're keeping up with kids and families and everybody else. You don't need another pack, you know, bag to carry around with all day long.
And if it is your last day, you can ask them if they'll take it to the guest service or whatever. So when you're leaving the park, you can just remember, oh, I have to go get the package. And you don't have to go all the way back to that store and buy it, which is usually at the front of the park, and get it there.
Well, unless you're Epcot, and they have multiple guests.
Yes.
Well,
it's very confusing.
For instance, at Epcot, there's some things that they will not ship back to your room. So they will send those to guest services, and
you pick that up, I guess, services on your way out the door.
So let's talk about tickets, because there's multiple different levels of what kind of ticket you can get. And you guys were talking about park hopper and one park a day ticket. So what's the options? What's the advantages and disadvantages of it? I know park hopper, a little bit more expensive, but you can go to multiple parks in one day, right?
Which is, I think, really worth it, because say your family gets to Epcot and nobody is having a good time and they all want to go back to Magic Kingdom, but you don't have a park hopper. You're stuck at Epcot.
You're stuck.
There's also park hopper plus water parks and Disney Quest. That's an added.
Yeah, which is a little more expensive.
A little more expensive, but you can go to both the water parks and any of the other parks and Disney Quest whenever you want to, which is in downtown Disney.
Right. It's a good option if you know it's going to be raining, you know, forecasting it's going to be rain for a couple of days.
Yeah.
You know, that's maybe may be an option, especially, you know, kids, something that's, we've never been to Disney Quest, but it's like a arcade video game kind of place, multiple levels, so we could spend most of the full day there.
And the water parks are pretty cool. Just like water roller coasters. They're really fun.
I don't think I ever recommended it if it's your first and only time you're going there.
No. I wouldn't either.
Me either. That'd be something if you've been two or three times.
So the park touring. So we're going to go around and we're starting out a park. We got there. We got our tickets. We got everything planned out. This is kind of an advantage you guys brought up before, was your extra magic hours, where if you're staying on a Disney resort, sometimes they open up the parks just for resort guests, like an hour early or an hour later.
It's 1 hour in the mornings, and to the remainder of 2012 will be 3 hours. But I think starting in 2013 on the extra magic, extra hours in the evening, they're going to be reducing that from 3 hours to 2 hours.
Did you see, as a side note, that they're going to take off Splash Mountain for the evening magic hours?
Yeah, I've seen that.
But they're replacing it with the Tiki Room,
ooh,
which is, I think it's a good swap.
No, it's not. They better watch out, because if they continue to take away, people might start staying off-site.
Yeah, because there won't be any benefit to it.
Nope. Why would they take Splash Mountain off and replace it with the Tiki Room?
I don't know. Is it just maintenance with the ride or something like that? I mean, I know.
Or to get people to actually go to the Tiki Room?
Or, you know, maybe.
Well, I mean, I have walked up to the Tiki Room and thought, wow, it's only like 8 o'clock at night. Why is the Tiki Room closed? But I wouldn't want to switch it. I wouldn't want to walk up to the Splash Mountain and say the same thing.
I mean, that's one of the headliners of the park. I guess they have their reasons. And I mean, as many times, like I said, we've been to Disney, I think I've only done the Tiki Room one time.
I could see maybe doing the Splash Mountain.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen the old. That was the new. That was the one under new management. We didn't see the original.
The new one's not as good as the old one. But maybe it may be a good idea to do it just for the winter season,
right,
for Splash Mountain. But for the summer,
yeah,
because
it's not right.
If you do it at night during winter and it's cold,
yeah.
Well, nobody want to go on Splash Mountain. One, they don't want to be cold, and two, because they don't want to get wet and be colder, and then have to get, like, all dried off, but you won't get to dry it off at night. But in the summer, it would actually be a refreshment, because sometimes it's really hot at night, and so that would be good.
I think I would trade being cold and wet on Splash Mountain than being bored and sleepy in the Tiki Room.
Yeah.
Mm.
Unless somebody splashed me with water in the Tiki Room, then maybe that'd be a trade-off.
Well, you never know. They might have somebody flicking that water behind the walls.
Maybe that's what the camel refurbishment thing on the Aladdin thing. It's turning its head the other way, where it'd spit at the Tiki Room instead of spin at the Dole Whip place.
Yeah. Let's combine that and they can spit Dole Whip at us.
Oh,
right. Now that's
a good idea.
Good.
That's a ride.
I'd say the line for that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Kristen's gonna be that camel now. She just got a great old big drink of water.
Exhibit A.
Yeah. So rope drop. Some people like to go to rope drop, so you might want to plan for that if you're an early riser.
Yeah, I was like, what's
never,
that?
See a rope drop ever in our life?
No.
We actually have seen a rope drop, and we were actually the first people on Splash Mountain.
Do they actually have a rope?
Yes, it's actually
a rope. It's actually a rope.
That's why they call it rope drop.
And they walk you right along the path. Yeah. We had breakfast one morning and...
And that's a tip. If you want to, for, you know, certain parks, you know, Magic Kingdom, for example, you can, you know, have restaurants and serve breakfast. On a general day, Magic Kingdom opens at 9 a.m. Some of those restaurants open earlier, so you can get an earlier breakfast. And, you know, you're allowed to go into the park. You have to have your confirmation number to show proof of your reservation.
You know, I think it wasn't even a breakfast. I think it was Bippity Boppity Boutique.
Exactly, and that's the other thing. They take appointments for at the Bippity Boppity Boutique. Say that three times fast. You know, do that so you can get into the park earlier. And generally the, you know, Main Street is open and you can get, you know, up to the hub in front of the castle. But all these surrounding lands, they actually have a rope, you know, before you go across the bridges to the area, and they'll have a cast member standing there waiting until 9 a.m. And like I said, they drop the rope and actually will walk you back. You can't run past the cast members, but they will slowly back into the lands. And as I said, we did that one time. We were the very first people of the day to ride Splash Mountain. And we cut through Adventureland and cut through the little pass there, and we were kind of race walking these two other young teenagers. And because all I wanted to do is I wanted to get to and see if they reset their photo passes on their rides where they take your picture. You know, generally you get off, they take a picture on every ride for everybody, and it's got a number. So I said, well, this would be cool. If we could get on Splash Mountain and be number one for the day, I would buy that to show that. We were the first log on the ride that morning, but when we get off, that the number was not one. It was, you know, just a continuation from the number they already had, so we didn't get it. But you can do that, and that's one thing, you know, if you can get in the parks early to do that, that's, you know, something we will look at, is getting an early breakfast, doing an extra early Bippity Boppity Boutique reservation, and you can get into the park, and that's a lot of times to knock out a lot of the rides very early. You know, the lines will be very minimal, if at all.
And can you just walk on a ride?
Some of them you can. Yeah. You just walk on, and like Splash Mountain, we could have, you know, walked around again and, you know, pretty much got on. Because, you know, those are pretty high capacity rides, like Big Thunder Mountain.
Yeah, I think we walked off Splash Mountain and went straight over there. We
weren't the Thunder Mountain. Yet, but... So you got two of the major rides, you know, done in, you know, 10 or 15 minutes. Huh. So that's one advantage to
getting up early, guys.
Never going to happen.
Better to sleep in.
Yeah. We're very lazy in the morning. We won't ever see a rope drop.
No. And especially at the Magic Kingdom, they have a park opening outside by the train station. We haven't seen that because the times we did that, we got there early enough. We were inside at the boutique and then the breakfast, I think we had one morning, so I actually haven't seen, but they have a show. I mean, the characters will come out to the train, they'll have a big presentation. Actually, I think they select a family a day to officially open the park, and it's kind of really neat. I've seen videos, so like I said, I haven't seen it in person, but that's kind of, you know, really neat.
Yeah.
So that takes place usually on 8:30, quarter to 9 on a normal day, so it's something different in and out of itself. So, but, you know, if you're going the first time, you want to go, get there early, you know, beat the crowds, and get as much of the rides done early in the morning as you possibly can.
I've heard rumors of that train thing, that rope drop thing, but I don't actually think it exists.
It really does. You guys can say it. We're living proof. We've seen it.
This is all new to me.
Well, actually, get into the parks. I mean, you need to figure out what your family's like, kind of the ages and the determination on whether they like thrill rides, all that kind of stuff, and then figure out, along with planning, on what you want to ride and what you want to do, right? Because there's no use in staying in line if it's something that your family's not going to enjoy, right?
Right.
Don't take your three-year-old on Everest.
Yeah, it just depends on what your age group is.
And that's where those books help a lot, too, because they describe the rides.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know you kind of put it out, Todd, as the must-dos that you got to do, the try-to-do if you have time, right, and then the optional. Is that kind of what you were...
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, sit down with your family, you know, get the books, you know, get an explanation of the rides. You know, those explanations will have height requirements. So if you have small children, you know, 3, 4, 5, you know, there's certain heights. Some rides you can't ride. You have to be certain inches tall. And so, you know, sit down, just have a, you know, call a family meeting. you know, mm-hmm. give kids or, you know, whoever mm-hmm. books and say, look at this, you know, and then a certain time, okay, you know, make a list of these are the rides that I have to do, you know, I want to do.
And you can look up the rides on YouTube and watch, like, the ride through what it's going to look like.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
The other thing is when you're planning, we'll go into this more in depth in our dining episode, is your dining options. Are you doing counter service, table service, or snacks, too? I mean, general information on it. I guess it just depends on how you're going to eat, right?
It depends on how long you want to take to eat.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And if it's your first time, you still may want to look into the dining plan. You can look that up on Disney's website, and it will tell you, explain each dining plan. There's several different ones. You look at whatever fits for your family. Again, it's how long you want to take to eat.
Plus, if you get into the more expensive ones, you can get some free recreation or free recreational things, such as golf, Cirque du Soleil, the water sports or the water boats, the fishing excursions. If you really want to get into those things, those are included.
So I know you had a couple other things that you listed that you wanted to, I guess, mention when you're planning.
Yeah, just, I mean, there are, you know, for some very smaller kids, there are strollers available in all the parks. They have typically two sizes. They have a single stroller and a double stroller. I would probably recommend the double stroller, even if you only have one child. You can, can always carry stuff and put the other stuff that you may buy, purchase, you know, in next to the smaller child.
And they're great to sit on during parades.
It's a good idea.
Or if the mom or the dad gets tired, they can just take the other stuff.
That is true. Yeah, then you can push.
Yeah. Of course, you can always, you know, bring your own strollers in, but, you know, those are available for rent. And something to keep in mind if you, you know, do have a park hopper option. If you rent a stroller in one park, you turn it back in, you know, keep your ticket, go to the next park, show that ticket where you purchased it. You know, it will have a date and a time stamp on it. And, you know, if you bought it that morning, just show them that ticket and you don't have to pay for it. You know, they will give you another stroller. So that's one of the good thing about it. You know, one good thing is if you bring your own, you're used to it, you know how big it is and dealing with it. Otherwise, you know, you don't have to lug a stroller back and forth. You just get it, use it at the park, then turn it back in. And, you know, it's the cast member's thing to deal with at the end of the night when they're trying to do the stroller corral.
That's a great tip, though. Yeah. I totally forgot about that.
And same thing with lockers. We mentioned lockers earlier in the podcast, but you can do that as well as when you turn your locker key in, you'll get a discount back. It's kind of like a deposit. Mm-hmm. There's a charge plus a deposit for the key. That way, if you run out of the park and forget the key, but you know you want to get that and turn that key back in, you'll get a deposit back. Some of the things, you know, they do have wheelchairs for those who need wheelchairs. They have electrical wheelchairs, so they, you know, have this the manual where you push or the electric wheelchairs. We kind of talked about lockers. Lockers are available at the front of each of the parks. You know, for those who don't speak English, they have foreign language guides. You can check into the guest services at each park, and it's basically a little adapter that, you know, can be activated in certain areas of the park as you go around for lots of different languages. So if you're listening, you know, from other countries, you know, they are very accessible and happy to oblige that. And, you know, it's never a single language, but there are, you know, lots of languages that they do offer that.
And sometimes, like, if you go in a store, you want to buy something, and then you have a question about something, sometimes there's actually cast members that speak the same language as you do, because sometimes there's, like, cast members that speak Spanish if you're speaking Spanish.
They also have park maps in different languages.
Oh, yes. They have personal touring guides. You'll see a lot of celebrities use those. But, you know, if you're just a regular people that want to go to Disney World for the first time, and like I said,
you actually don't see the celebrities.
Yeah. Thomas Gibson saw him, followed him, stalked him in Animal Kingdom.
Really? Okay. Not really. We just saw him and followed him to Dino World. Then he went on the Dino ride, and then we stopped.
There was no stalking involved.
There was no stalking involved.
We just followed him for a couple minutes.
Well, why do you hold that photo of him all the time? Like, when you come over to do the podcast, why do you stick that on the table over there?
It reminds me of the happy times.
But, you know, any group or, you know, family can do that. Yes, it's I'd say inexpensive, but that is an option if you're, you know, especially if you're, you know, coming from another country and you're maybe a little hesitant about travel and want to know, you're not for sure about, you know, things, that may be an option that you want to do.
It is quite expensive, however,
a personal guide. And that's kind of one of our tips. You see those are usually in the plaid vest around the parks. That's what those cast members typically wear. Mm-hmm. And we're doing either celebrities or, you know, people with personal touring guides. That's what those are. And one of the other things I want to mention is even people that have, or, you know, children that may have special needs. I know Disney just got an award for being, you know, good with of autism. They got an award from a company over in Europe, or a service recognized for that. So even if you have children that, you know, have special needs or challenges, because, you know, a theme park can be overwhelming, you know, especially, you know, somebody who has autism, but they have ways and means to help, you know, the child, you know, cope with that. So, you know, any special needs, you know, contact Disney directly through their website, through email, you know, or give them a phone call. You know, that's what Disney is known for, is customer service. So, like, you know, it doesn't want to exclude anybody, no matter what physical challenges, issues, you know, someone may have. So they'll try to do their best to do that. So if you have a special, unique, you know, challenge, definitely call them ahead of time.
Even if you're, like, a child doesn't have a special need, but they just are not familiar with their surroundings, like, some kids aren't comfortable with stuff they are not sure of, the cast members will, like, make them feel special. Like, every time, sometimes when I used to walk into stores and they would say, "Hi, princess," and they would usually call everybody either princess or prince, like younger kids and sometimes even adults.
Yeah, they try to make every experience a magical one.
That was awkward when that one guy called me princess, though.
Well, he just called me Lucky Season.
Is that a good place to end this podcast? I swear.
Oh, we love you, Nathan.
I know, whatever. All right, so this is, I guess, the end of the general show for WDW 101. Our next show is going to be a walkthrough of the Magic Kingdom to try to give you a little bit of an idea of where you're going to go to, and maybe what you want to see, what you want to ride, maybe where you want to shop or not shop if you have ladies that are with you. But we really wanted to stop looking at me like that. We really wanted to thank everyone. It's overwhelming how many people are following us on Twitter, coming to our Facebook page, downloading our episodes. We just want to thank everybody out there for this. We didn't know that people would actually respond to this the way they have been. So
just thank you very much.
Just thank everybody out there that's doing it. We're going to try to continue to keep it lively and relevant. And if you guys have any kind of suggestions for us at all, please don't hesitate. All of our contact information is in the show notes. You can give us any kind of suggestions that you want, show ideas, whatever. We'd be happy to address those things.
Thank you.
Wow, a lot of people have connections around this table, don't we? Let's try to do that, Becky. Say thank you at the same time. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Thank you.
That
was weird.
I thought everybody was going to do that. I'm sorry.
That was going to be me and Becky. All
right.
Well, you didn't say anything.
Are you guys married too? This is getting weirder and weirder the longer the show goes on. Maybe I should just stop it. All right. Thanks again, guys. And whoever wants to say the end thing. What's the end thing that we're saying?
Hope all your dreams are magical dreams.
There it is. All right. Thanks again.